They were decimated in the recent general election, reduced to 121 MPs. So the job of the next Conservative Party leader in Britain will be immense. The race to become that leader begins today after Rishi Sunak announced his resignation on July the 5th. We're joined now by Lucy Fisher, Whitehall editor of the Financial Times. Lucy, good to have you on the programme again. Good morning to you. Is it a race or is it more of a slow walk? Do many want the job?
Well, good morning. I think, in fact, we're expecting it to be a pretty crowded field, although the threshold to enter the contest is 10 nominations. The nominations open tonight at 7 p.m, close before the House of Commons rises next Tuesday. So it's a slim window. And in such a small party, there's 121 MPs now. And of course, some have, shadow roles as whips or various roles that mean they cannot nominate. That means there's not that many nominations to go around, but we're expecting potentially as many as 8 runners and riders throwing their hat in the ring.
Any particular names that we would recognise?
Well, of course, James Cleverly, the former Foreign Secretary, last night became the first Tory MP to formally launch a campaign. He published a campaign website online, a short video on social media, detailing his childhood in South London, kind of details around why he wanted to go into politics in the first place, and a pitch to his party to try and unite it and restore its reputation after, trust was so damaged in the eyes of the electorate. So he very much has first mover advantage. From the right wing flank of the party, we're expecting the former Immigration Minister, Robert Jenrick, and former Home Secretaries Priti Patel and Suella Braverman to enter the fray. Kemi Badenoch, the former Business Secretary, is, like James Cleverly, seen as a candidate who might be able to appeal to both the right and the centrist wing of the party. And then from that centrist One Nation tradition, it's Tom Tugendhat, the former Security Minister, and Mel Stride, the former Work and Pensions Minister, if he can get enough nominations, who are expected to see represent that tradition in the party.
What's your analysis, Lucy, of the type of leader who is needed to rebuild the party? Is it one who leans more to the right to challenge Nigel Farage, or is it one in the centre to challenge Labour?
Well, look, this is the key bone of contention in this contest. It's an analysis that, is very much contested. I think those on the centre of the party, argue that is the only vantage point from which you can win a general election. The electorate in the UK tends to, favour centre-ground politicians. And they say, look at what's happened with Labour. It's after Labour ditched Jeremy Corbyn, the hard left leader, and Keir Starmer dragged the party to the centre ground, that it managed to win this colossal majority. We need to be fighting on the same territory. While there are others who say, the reason the Conservative Party lost is because it betrayed its true blue credentials. It needs to really give some red meat policies to the public, and in particular argue for lower taxes, a smaller state and less red tape. So that is going to be the sort of the battle for the soul of the party that we'll see play out over the coming months. And another tension worth pointing out is that after this rout at the general election, the MPs within the party, the centre of gravity has shifted more to the centre, but the membership is very much more to the right. And it is the MPs who will be narrowing the field down to the final two candidates, but it is the membership that will decide the eventual winner. So I think my assessment is we might see someone potentially more to the right of the party clinching it with membership.
In this country, when parties lose big after being in government for a long time, the new leader goes around the country and attempts to rebuild the party from the grassroots. Does that happen there?
Well, I think that will certainly be what the new leader attempts to do. It's quite a lengthy process this time. We're not going to hear the new leader of the opposition announced until November the 2nd. We're going to see the final four candidates treat the party conference at the end of September as a sort of beauty parade. Now, that's to give the membership more choice and or at least sort of allow the MPs to sort of really stress test the next candidate and allow members there to kind of see them in context. However, there is a criticism that, you know, we're going to see the Labour government, you know, present its new budget in October without a new leader in place, and that there will be a lost time, you know, in performing the crucial duties of opposition and scrutinising the new Labour government. But certainly once new leaders in place, I think we will see them try and reach out to different parts of the country and certainly do a lot of on the ground visits. In one sense, because we know this is, you know, 4 to 5 year parliament ahead, they do have time to kind of try and do that sort of countrywide visit to rebuild the party's reputation.
Lucy, thank you very much. Lucy Fisher, Whitehall editor of the Financial Times.